We've already seen what older men are to be, and we've seen what older women are to be, and we will continue to look at what younger women are to be today, and then, Lord willing, we will see what younger men are to be. This is what God says those who have placed their faith in Christ are to be.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we'll shift our discussion about what younger women are to do to what they are to be.
You know, Dave, there really is a definite shift here that the Apostle Paul wants us to see. Our text moves from the practical aspects of what young women are to do to the characteristic traits or character traits that should be associated with them. And again, we're going to see that there's something here for every single one of us, not just younger women. So if you have a Bible handy, I'd invite you to turn to Titus chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verse 5.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Well, so often we as Christians and certainly as non-believers are always looking what we are to do. Mothers wonder what they are to do in relationship to their families. Husbands wonder what they are to do in relationship to their families. We often speak of life as what we will do. We talk about what we might do, where we may go, what we might study, whatever it might be. But in Scripture, we see something that is much more important than what we will do. It is what we are and who we will be and what we are to be, which I believe we will see today determines what we will do. We've been looking at, from Titus chapter 2, how we are to live the Christian life. And we see the grace of God working through the Word of God, ultimately showing us in the Word what we are to be. We've already seen what older men are to be, and we've seen what older women are to be, and we will continue to look at what younger women are to be today, and then, Lord willing, we will see what younger men are to be. This is what God says those who have placed their faith in Christ are to be. And ultimately, as we see this, it will bring about what we are to do. So with that in mind, will you turn with me in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. And if you don't have a Bible,
you can go in the back and get one. This is Equipping Bible Church.
We're here not to focus on ourselves. We're here to study the Word of God, because we recognize that it is alone sufficient for our walk with Christ. Titus chapter 2. Now, we've been looking at the book of Titus, and I'm going to give a brief review of what we've done so far in Titus. We have seen the Apostle Paul writing to Titus, his true child in the faith. Titus was a Greek, a faithful Greek that trusted in Christ and served the Lord under the direction of the Apostle Paul. And we see, besides a wonderful introduction in which we see the humility of Paul, we see that there were some problems in Crete, that Titus was instructed to appoint elders in the cities there, that there was a difficulty in leadership, that there needed to be godly leaders. And we saw the qualifications for leaders in the church. They need to work hard in the Word of God. They need to oversee and they need to protect. And we saw the character qualities that God requires of those who are to be leaders in His church. They are to guard the valuable flock from threats to the Word. They are to admonish and teach with the Word. And we saw that there were those bad guys in the church, those who would teach things they should not teach, and elders were to refute and silence them for the good of the body, for the flock of God, which is so valuable to Him. We saw those bad guys were worthless for any good deed, ultimately. And then we move to chapter 2, in which we see really as a whole, and as we look at our portion today, we need to see it in the context of chapter 2. And I want to give a brief overview of chapter 2, and we don't want to forget that as we look at it. Remember, verse 1, we see sound doctrine is the foundation for how we are to be and live in Christ. But as for you,
he says, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine or teaching. Titus, in contrast to the bad guys who are teaching things they should not teach, you teach things, you speak things that are fitting for sound doctrine. And then he goes to give Titus, at this point, verses 2 through 10, sound doctrine on what we are to be. Older men, older women, young men, slaves. And then in the end of this, we see ultimately how we are able to do this. Yes, there are the commands on what we are to be, but we do not have the power to do that. We see ultimately that that power is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We see in verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. God's unmerited favor in Christ towards you, what you don't deserve, has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And that same grace now is instructing us to deny ungodliness. If you want to know what the church is about right now, the grace of God in Christ through the Word of God, sound doctrine, is instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Then verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession. We'll see this idea of purity today. Purify us. Purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. And then he says, these things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. And we've seen ultimately what older men are to be. And we've seen what older women are to be. And we'll review that in a minute. And today we're going to see what younger women are to be. And every time I say, there's probably someone out here who is saying, I'm not a younger woman, so how does this apply to me? And certainly these commands are directed towards younger women specifically. We see different genders and different ages. And I think they're based on the temptations that probably these age groups and genders would be faced with. But some of you are saying, I'm not a woman, how does it apply to me? Well, we're going to see today that these commands for younger women certainly are directed to them. And if you are a younger woman, you need to pay attention. These same commands apply to the rest of the body of Christ, as we will see also. So we all need to be paying attention, but mostly we'll see that it applies to younger women. Okay, with that in mind, let's turn to Titus chapter 2. And we're going to go ahead and see what younger women are to be in Christ. Now, we need to remember there's a prerequisite to this. Younger women need to be in a position to be taught by older women. Let's take a look back in verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine. And then we looked at this in depth. Teaching what is good. That good, when manifest, is beautiful. Teaching what is good, that they may encourage the younger women. And then we're going to have our seven things that we've been looking at. Two last week, Lord willing, two this week. And then we will see the remaining three next week. That they may encourage the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. That's two. To be sensible. Three. Pure. Four. Workers at home. Five. Kind. Six. Being subject to their own husbands. Seven. That the word of God may not be dishonored. Remember, we saw older women in Christ, regardless of maturity, by this time should realize the vanity of living life their own way. And this is what older women are to do. They're to be Christ-like, but they are also to be teaching the younger women what is good. That word we saw, which was something that is intrinsically good, but manifests itself beautifully. Now, as I've shared before, what we will see today concerning younger women depends on, ultimately, the older women teaching them this. And so it depends upon the body of Christ being together. You see, we have a very selfish church these days where people come and go as they please. They don't see themselves as bought with a price, that they are not their own. And people just say, what's good for me? I'll go this time or that time. But ultimately, we need to be saying, Lord, what is your will for me? And we see in Scripture, his will is to be together, but yet our will often comes in conflict because we have our own desires and things. But here today,
these commands will not be lived out in the body of Christ if older women are not around the younger women. And so they need to be together. We need to be together as a body. The early church was continually devoted to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer. And I want to encourage you, if you have no desire to be around the body of Christ, then something is wrong with your walk with Christ. And as elders, when we see people start to slip away, certainly people get sick and certainly things happen. But when there is no desire to be around the body of Christ, we know that selfishness and sin has crept in. And it is very grievous to us, and we are very concerned for those who don't want to be around the body of Christ. Not for the sake of getting things done, but for the sake of trusting and obeying the Lord together as a body. So we need to be together. And younger women, we saw last time that this requires humility. You need to humble yourself before the older women in the congregation who will come alongside you, not to gossip or complain about things, but to share the word of God to you. You need to humble yourself. If an older woman comes to you and says, you know, it doesn't seem like you're loving your husband, and I want to encourage you to be a lover of your husband. I want to encourage you to love your children. You need to be in a humble position to accept those truths from the Word of God. And so that's the prerequisite. We need to be together, and you need to be in a humble position to accept those truths. Now, we saw that older women are to be teaching what is good in verse 4, that they may encourage the younger women. And then there's our seven things. And we looked at that word. It's really important because it applies to the two things we will look at today. That they may, and as we looked at it before, sophronizo. The word encourage could be translated train in the NIV or admonish, I think, in the New King James. But we looked at it, and it literally means to place into the mind, to cause someone to have a sound mind, to think correctly. Older women are to be teaching what is good so that the younger women will think correctly and ultimately be these seven things. The word speaks of being in one's right mind, thinking rightly, sensible, and we've looked at that. And there's a literal translation I have for this verse, which I think really describes it best, that they may make young women sober-minded. Women would think right. By nature, our thoughts go crazy, right? All of us, right? By nature, we all default to worldly selfish thinking. But it's the Word of God, specifically here, through older women teaching what is good, that will cause younger women to have their minds renewed in the Word of God rather than thinking the way they used to think. We have a lot of women, young women in the church who are not thinking rightly. Now, there's a lot of all of us. We're all tempted to not think rightly, but we have a lot of young women not thinking rightly. Those who are not of biblically sound minds, as evidenced by behavior in the context of their homes or whatever it might be. So what's God's solution? Is it a seminar on how to be a housewife? Is it a seminar on how to love your husband? Is it a seminar to take care of those things? What is God's solution? Right here in Titus, it is older women must be teachers of what is good so that the younger women will think rightly concerning the relationship with their husbands, their children, and that they will manifest this beautiful holiness in the context. Older women, I need to remind you that you have an extremely important mandate from God in this passage to be teaching what is good. It's from the Word of God, the younger women, so that these women will think rightly. And what a shame to have a body that has younger women who are not interacting with the older women, separated by different groups or Bible studies, rather than the body coming together. Okay, so with that in mind, we see older women, teachers, what is good, and then younger women need to be in a place to be taught. Okay, with that in mind, what are younger women to be specifically? We've looked at two things, and we'll just briefly review them. First of all, they are to be to love their husbands, middle of verse 4, and they are to love their children. Older women are to teach what is good so that the younger women would be loving their husbands. Or literally, we saw husband lovers. It spoke of a tender affection, that the wives would be tenderly affectionate towards their husbands. And we saw there was no qualification. It didn't say only if your husband loves you, or only if your husband is a nice guy, or only if he does this. It says this is what you are to be. The Word of God, by the means of Christ and His Spirit, should change you to be a husband lover. That's what you are to be. And older women, you need to be coming alongside and instructing the younger women to do this in the context of Christ. Continually, habitually, what you are to be, husband lovers. And you know what? That's impossible. And you know it, right? It's impossible apart from Christ empowering you, impossible apart from you saying, Lord God, I can't do it, but you've asked me to do it, and I trust you, and I believe you'll do it through me. Okay? Secondly, we see that younger women are to be children lovers. It's the same thing. It speaks of a tender affection for the children, a tender affection for their children, philos technon. There are to be philo aner, husband lovers, and also philos technon, children lovers here. You are to be tenderly affectionate with your children. And sometimes we're tempted not to be that way, right? Because children are children, right? And certainly mothers being around their children most likely more often than the dads are tempted not to be affectionate towards the children, right? Now, I'm not talking about being a buddy-buddy with your child, which is kind of the way people do it these days. You still are their parent, but you can be tender and affectionate towards them, and that is what you are to be in Christ, tender and affectionate. Husband lovers, children lovers, and also along with the husbands, this is not based on the worthiness of the husband, and thus it's not based on the worthiness of the child, right? It's just what you are to be. Now, some of you have been believers and you recognize, I have not been a husband lover. I have not been a child lover. And I would ask you, first of all, to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And if you believe you are a believer, then I would exhort you to go before the Lord and confess that. Let's say your children are grown up now. Your husband is older now, obviously. Confess that to God, first of all, I haven't done this and I am sorry. And then go to your kids and say, you know what? I blew it here and I'm sorry. And just humble yourself before them. So whether you're a younger woman, now you know the command. But if you are an older woman who failed in this and you were a believer, I would go to them and say, I'm sorry. As I've studied the Word of God, I see I wasn't what I was supposed to be in Christ. And I'm sorry. And humble yourself before them. Ultimately, God. Older women are to be teachers of what is good in order that the younger woman would be caused to think rightly and continually, habitually be those seven things. First of all, husband lovers, then children lovers. And now we're going to see the second of three areas of what they are to be. First of all, what we just reviewed was how younger women are to be in relationship to their families. Secondly, we're going to see today, Lord willing, how they are to be in relationship to self. And then lastly, we're going to see how they are to be, Lord willing, next week in relationship to their calling and duty in Christ. So here we go. What are they to be in relation to self? Titus chapter 2, and let's start back in 3 because it's all connected. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good that manifests beautifully. That they may encourage or sophronize, cause them to think rightly, young women to love their husbands or literally be husband lovers, to love their children or literally be children lovers, and then we have two more, to be sensible, pure. Notice we have the third and fourth adjectives in this list of seven. They're to be sensible and pure. Younger women, this is what you are to be in Christ. There should be no mystery to what God has called you to. The next time you're wondering, oh Lord, what is your will for me? What should we do this next year? What should we do about this or that? Go back to Titus and say, well, first of all, am I being this in Christ? This is what you are to be, sensible and pure. Okay, so let's take a look at this. Now, I think we need to recognize that these two things go together, being sensible and being pure. And first of all, we have this word sensible. And if you remember, the sound teaching from the older women should cause them to be sensible. It's the same word, sophron or sophronizo. And if you'll remember, we've looked at this word quite a bit. Titus is all about right thinking. It's about right thinking manifest in good works in the context of godly relationships. And here now, this is what younger women are to be. Sensible. Now, if you remember, we looked at this word sophron before, and it's made of two Greek words, sozo, which means to save, and phron, which speaks of the mind. A saved mind. It's a redeemed mind. You're to be thinking rightly. It literally speaks of being in one's right mind. And remember when we looked at it earlier in Mark chapter 5, we saw the demoniac. Mark chapter 5 verse 14, I'll read it for you. And the herdsmen ran away and reported. This is after the demons were sent into the pigs or the swine and went over the hill. The demons were cast out of by Christ, of the demoniac. And the herdsmen ran away and reported in the city out in the country, and all the people came to see what happened, and they came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed sitting down, clothed, and in his sophron, right mind. Right mind. He was possessed, he was out of his mind, and when Christ cast out the demons, he was sitting in his right mind. He was thinking rightly in this context. It speaks of thinking. It speaks of being of sound mind. It denotes a cool head, balanced mind, self-control, moderation of thinking. It speaks of having a healthy mind. It's also translated prudent in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 2. And then in other versions of the Bible, it's translated New King James, temperate and discreet, NIV, self-controlled. And I think it has all these meanings. The idea is being sensible, thinking sensibly, has to do with right thinking. Instead of having thoughts controlled by anger, worry, wine, pleasures, irritation, money, younger women must have their minds ultimately correctly thinking and in context focused on the right things, the things of Christ. Now, not only are younger women to be sensible, we're going to see throughout Titus that all of us are to be thinking sensibly. We saw earlier in chapter 1, verse 8, that elders are to be sensible. If you just flip back a couple verses, Titus chapter 1, we'll start with verse 7. For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, verse 7, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sensible. You can't have anyone leading the church who is not in their right mind in Christ. They need to be sensible. It is an absolute requirement of the leadership of the church. And here we see older women are to teach the younger women what is good, that they would be sensible, that they would be sensible. Later on, we see it also in Titus chapter 2. We see it a whole bunch of times, and I'll just point it out as we read through chapter 2 here. But as for you, verse 1, speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine. Older men are to be temperate, dignified, here's our word, sensible. Sound in faith, love, perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, not enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage, so from Israel, the young women, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, same words.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we close today's broadcast, briefly review for us what it means to be sensible.
You know, Dave, when the Apostle Paul speaks about younger women being sensible, he really means they should be thinking rightly. Their thoughts should be characterized by sound doctrine or teaching. And Dave, it's really a command that we should aspire to. We should all be desiring to think rightly, to be sensible. We're going to see that throughout chapter 2, that every group, every one of us, is to be thinking rightly in relationship to Christ and our walk with Him. So obviously the Apostle Paul knew that young women would have this tendency not to think sensibly, or otherwise he would have stressed some other quality here. But as we consider our lives, we need to remember that we all need to be thinking rightly in Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.